gonna say, it's kind of hard to find what you're looking for when you're blindfolded, right? There it is. See how easy that was for me when I could see it clearly? Jesus tells us in this story that we all, everyone here, apart from God, is spiritually blindfolded. Spiritually blind. Unable to see the thing they need to see in order to truly live and have eternal life. And really what we're going to see is that's the whole point of what he does here today in this story in John chapter 9. He says, it's impossible to find what you need. It's impossible to find what you're truly looking for when you're blind. And so look in your Bibles with me at John chapter 9. Like I said, this is one of the miracles that Jesus performs in this book. And if you've studied the book of John, scholars think it really comes down to that Jesus performs seven major miracles in the book of John. Okay? Seven major miracles. The very first one was when he turned water into wine. He heals a lame person. All these different miracles. He feeds 5,000 people. He walks on water. And then you get to chapter 9. This is the number 6 sign. This is sign number 6, and he heals this man who is blind. Now, we're going to see this is a little bit of a different miracle than all the others that he does for a number of reasons. But let's look at this together. Jesus tells us that in this story, he says, you'll notice right away, he's talking about seeing, but he's not just talking about seeing visibly. All right, so John chapter 9, let's read just the first couple verses. What I want to do this morning is kind of read through the story piece by piece, and we'll look at it. And in the first 5 verses, this is kind of just the setup for the miracle. Verse 1, it says, as he passed by, so Jesus is walking down the street, as he passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, so that he was born blind? Jesus said it was not that this man sinned or that his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So this is the word of God. So this is just kind of the background of the story. You see these guys walking along down the side of the road. We find out a little bit later in the story that this blind man was sitting beside the road begging for money. You see, in those days, if you were blind, you couldn't have a job. Really, there's nothing you could do except sit beside the road and ask for money. Things are different nowadays, thank goodness. But back then, it was a hard life. You were basically helpless if you were blind. And this guy was not just blind later in life. He was born blind. But I love that first verse. It says, as he passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus saw this guy. And what do you think he saw? Everyone else, we know what they saw, right? The disciples saw this guy, and they said, this guy must have sinned, and that's why he was born blind, or his parents must have sinned. Maybe God made him blind because he knew he would be a sinner. And they start trying to find someone to blame. But Jesus doesn't see that, does he? Did you catch what Jesus said? He said that this is going to be an opportunity for God to receive glory through what's about to happen. So Jesus sees this person who's blind, helpless, and he says, I want to show God's glory in that person. So that's the first little section. Then, now here's the next section, verses 6 and 7. This is the actual miracle, and it takes 2 verses. Here, let's read this together. Verse 6, it says, having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. That's it. This guy's sight came back. Can you imagine the feeling? He's never seen a thing in his life. And he obeys Jesus' words, goes and washes, and now he can see. How amazing is that? But one of the things that's really interesting to me about this miracle is not necessarily the fact that Jesus spit on the ground and made mud. A lot of people are like, what's that about? Like, was it magic mud? Like, what's going on here? Jesus could have just touched him and he would have been healed, right? But he wanted the man to obey his words and see that it indeed was him that was doing this. But the miracle in this passage only takes 2 verses to talk about. Only 2 verses. But the rest of the chapter is 41 verses long. So what are we supposed to make out of that? I think the main point we're trying to pick up on here today is Jesus says, look at how the man responded after he was healed. And how all the other people around him responded. That's what the rest of this chapter is about. The miracle itself only takes 2 verses.
But the response to the miracle takes another 35 verses or so.
So let's look at how people responded. After this guy's healed, verse 8, the neighbors and those who had been with him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some of them said, "Yes, it is him." And others said, "No, but it looks like him." And he kept on saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, and he anointed my eyes, and he said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." So that's the first little section. This is his friends and family. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know if this guy was married or if he had brothers and sisters or parents. We know he had parents. But can you imagine every day of his life, he was blind, and now all of a sudden this guy's walking around looking at him and talking to him, and some of these folks can't even comprehend it. They're like, "This is not the same guy. Absolutely not the same guy. It can't be." And others are like, "No, I think it is him." And he's like, "No, it's me. You remember me. It's me." So some of these people meet this with disbelief, but what I love about this guy is from the very beginning, all he does is tell the truth about what Jesus did in his life. He bears witness and he says, "Let me tell you what Jesus just did for me." He doesn't even know who Jesus is. He says, "I know this guy. He made mud. He put it on my eyes. I washed and he said to me, 'Clean,' and now I can see." And he just starts telling what happened. And you'll notice in this part, he calls Jesus a man. He says, "That man told me to go wash." Well, he's not wrong, is he? He's a man. Jesus is a man. But that's not all there is to it. So he sees the obvious. That's interesting. The blind man is seeing things now, right? So let's look at the next section, verses 13 through 17. So these folks who were kind of confused, they said, "Well, let's take them to the people who are in charge." Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." All right, so what's going on here in this little section? These people who are in charge, same thing. They're like, "This can't be happening. Nobody can see who is blind." And they said, "This guy did it on the Sabbath. So what's the big deal with all this?" So the Sabbath day was the holy day for the Jews. They were not allowed to do any work. And so by Jesus making mud and putting it on that man's eyes, they said, "See, Jesus worked. So we know he's not a good guy." Well, this blind man who's been healed says, I don't know about that. But what I can tell you is, he told me to wash and now I can see." And then at the end he says he's a prophet. So what's a prophet? A prophet is a messenger from God. And actually, multiple people in the Gospel of John call Jesus a prophet. They say he's a messenger from God. The woman at the well in John 4 says the same thing. "I've met this guy. I think he's a prophet. A special messenger from God." That's not wrong, is it? Jesus was a messenger from God. But that's not the complete picture. And now he's seeing a little better, but he's still not seeing completely clearly who Jesus is. You see, Jesus came with a message from God. But as John 1 tells us, he is the message from God. He's the word that God gives us to show us what God is like and God's love is like. So you see in these verses in 13 through 17, he tells the facts again. He recognizes that Jesus is a messenger. He still doesn't know the full extent. So let's move on, verse 18. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight. And so they called his parents, the parents of the man who received his sight, and they asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." And his parents said these things, for they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." All right, so these parents, you can tell, they're afraid, right? They confirm, this is the guy, this is not some substitute, this is our son who was born without eyesight. Those of you who are parents know how it is when you're when you have a baby and you, you the baby comes out and the doctor says it's healthy. Just such a relief. And some of you experience the opposite, right? The child comes out and they say there's a problem. Maybe the baby has to go to NICU for a while or different things like that happen. And just the fear that must be. Well, can you imagine what those parents must have felt when their son was born? And they could tell something was off with his eyes. And within the first couple of years, they could realize this kid can't see anything. And all those years, they'd watched him as a blind person. They'd seen him become a beggar to try to survive. And they say, yeah, this is our son. We have no idea how he's healed. And they're a little bit afraid they might be in trouble for it, right? Because these religious leaders are angry that a good thing happened. And so they say, just talk to him. He's a man. He can speak for himself. But they verified that he was born blind. So look at the next two verses. Verses 24 and 25. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. See, again, he says exactly what he knows and he sticks by it. He says, this is what Jesus did for me, and he sticks with it. He says, I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not, but I do know that he made me see. And let's move on to verse 26. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? So now he's getting a little... Cantankerous is like, do you just love hearing this story so much that you want to hear it again? And he knows that's not the way it is. And so they reviled him, verse 28, and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. That's kind of a sobering thing right there, y'all. That these are the religious leaders who knew the word, and they said, this guy can't be from God. We're going to follow Moses from the Old Testament. They don't realize they're rejecting God himself. So the blind man answered, the man who's blind answered, verse 30. Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. So they're saying the same thing the disciples said at the beginning of the night. God obviously made you blind for a reason. Because either you or your parents were so sinful that they needed to be punished. And they threw him out. But what I love in those verses, in verses 30 and 33, that man is now convinced that Jesus is not a sinner. He says, no, this guy can't be a sinner. This guy has to be a good guy. He has to be from God. And it's really close to a true and full confession of Jesus' identity. He can almost see it clearly now. This man was sent from God. He's a prophet, and he didn't sin. That's what he says. This guy is not a sinner. He's doing good things. So look at verses 35 through 39. This is getting to the end. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, I love that, Jesus went and found him, sought him out. And he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? I'm going to pause on that question for a minute, because what does that mean? In the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 7, there's a passage that says, one day there's going to be this great ruler who comes to judge the whole earth. And he's going to be one like a Son of Man. In other words, God himself is going to be like a human and come and judge the whole earth. It's a prophecy about Jesus. And so Jesus asked this guy, do you believe in that prophecy? That the Son of Man is going to come and rule the earth someday? I'm sure this guy is like, yeah, I believe the Bible that the Son of Man is here. And so verse 36, he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him. And it is he who is speaking to you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Isn't that amazing that the one guy in the story who sees who Jesus is now is the guy who started the story as a blind man? Jesus opened his eyes physically,
And now he's opened his eyes spiritually to say, you can see clearly who Jesus is. He's the promised one, the one who has come to save the world. Jesus said, verse 39, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. You see, this man honestly answered Jesus there. He said, I believe in the Son of Man, but who is he? And Jesus said, look at me. I am him. See, this man has faith and he believes. And I love that it says the result of his faith is worship. He throws himself down. Really where it says he worships, the word really means he throws himself down. I heard a speaker once say that this was almost like an involuntary reflex for the guy. So our kids play a lot of sports, right? So in sports, to help us understand this, a lot of sports are reflex, right? Like, so in the game of softball, we watched some softball this week. The pitcher pitches the ball to the catcher, and the catcher catches it, right? That's the reflex. That's what you're supposed to do. The pitcher pitches the ball, and the batter swings to hit it. That's their reflex. Somebody tosses you a ball, you catch it. That's what you're supposed to do. This guy, when he believes that Jesus is the one who can save him, he falls on his face and worships. That's what he's supposed to do. It's his reflex. When he comes to believe in Jesus and realize who he really is, it's his automatic reaction. You know, that's the same thing we want to do. End of this chapter, Jesus says, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Verse 40, some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. In other words, Jesus says, you're still not seeing it. In fact, y'all are the blind ones, because you're the ones who are not seeing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So when you think about this story, right, there's kind of three sets of characters. You have Jesus and his disciples. You have the opponents of Jesus. And you have this blind man who can now see. Of those people, right, we don't want to be like the second group, those who reject Jesus and say, it can't be that he's the Savior. Jesus says those are the blind people in this story. We want to be like that blind man who had his eyes open, who realized who Jesus is, and it changes his life forever. He can't stop talking about it. We also want to be like Jesus and his disciples. Jesus said at the beginning of this story, right, he said, I'm the light of the world. In other words, he says, I've come into the world to shine the light so that people can find their way to God. Without me, you're stumbling around in darkness, blind and lost. But he said, I'm going to take the blindfold off. I'm going to shine a bright light so that you can come to God through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, the blind man shows us two different reflexes. One is, after Jesus saves him and heals him, he can't stop talking about it, right? He's telling everybody what Jesus has done, and that's a strong theme in this chapter. It all comes to a head, right, where Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in me? And when the man says, yes, I believe, he's saved. I think God wants us to have that same reflex. Tell everyone, if God has saved you, if Jesus is your Savior, tell everyone about it. Tell the truth about what he's done for you. Talk about how you used to be blind, but now you can see. I think Jesus kind of gives us a hint of how to do that. Jesus says, do you believe? It's a great question to ask people. Do you believe that Jesus can save you? That should be a reflex for us as a believer. And then that second reflex is to worship, right? If Jesus has saved you, how can you do anything but fall on your face and thank him and praise him for what he's done? I want to invite the worship team to come back up here. We're going to sing a song to praise and just praise God for his faithfulness. But when you think about this story, y'all, about how we all, apart from Christ, have a spiritual blindfold on, this is the reason we worship. Because we can see clearly that only through Jesus, only through his death, his burial, and his resurrection can we be saved. And that's why we worship. I want that to be a reflex for us. The old hymn, we're not going to sing it right now, but you know the song Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Will you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, this chance to gather out here and hear your word. God, I thank you that you offer us all healing spiritually, like you offered to that blind man. And Lord, I pray that every single person here would see clearly who you are through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would see clearly your love demonstrated through him. God, thank you for our faith that unites us into a family. Thank you for this chance to celebrate you and celebrate with you out here at this beautiful place. It's in the name of your Son we pray. Amen.